Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Pete Zayas for the second day in a row. Pete, I brought you back here just because, you know, nothing really going on. Quiet day in the NBA. Are you okay with coming on 2 days in a row when there's nothing to really talk about?
What is this 1:30 in the morning crap, man? Like, what is, like, this is not how the NBA used to be. I kind of love it, but
yeah,
like that is quite the notification to get at that time of night. Like, why is Shams tweeting at me at 1:20 in the morning? But here we are.
Usually those are like assistant coach gets hired at Rutgers hours.
right. Yeah, that was cracking me up when Woj was doing that during like, so-and-so has signed a two-way deal with the Detroit Pistons. Get the freaking hell out of here, man, with this. What are you doing? You're just messing with us at this point.
Yeah. It was just like, one day Woj is going to like really mess with everybody and tweet out like his review of the new Jurassic Park movie or something.
You know,
I really love the Raptors in Jurassic Park.
I'm expecting him to break the Shams news. Like he's going to be the one that breaks where Shams signs with, because he's done with Yahoo. So,
yeah, it makes too much sense for him to go to The Athletic. Like, it's just, it has to be done already. But all right, today's show, we're going to talk about Kawhi Leonard. There's a ton to get through here. There's a ton of updates. We know what the actual trade was. I am insanely low on the return for San Antonio, and I think that kind of says something about this entire process. I think they went into it completely screwed and then eventually got completely screwed. So as always, you guys know where to find the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll, where both Pete and I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers, and Pete on Twitter at Laker Film Room, where, by the way, you can find a Photoshop of...
I'm not proud. I actually had to take a shower right after that to wash the filth off of myself and out of my mind.
I was literally jumping into the shower and I got that notification. I was like, what the? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry to everybody for that.
All right, let's jump into this. Let's start here. The trade itself, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to Toronto for a heavily protected first round pick that becomes 2 second-rounders if it doesn't get sent over to San Antonio this year. For DeMar DeRozan, who was not very pleased about being in the trade rumors, and Jakob Poeltl. Poeltl.
Like turtle.
Yep. Yep. the Pokemon one. but somehow the Spurs send out Kawhi Leonard and might not get any of Toronto's top three assets, right? OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, and a first round pick, right? And they have to take on DeMar DeRozan's deal, which I believe is 3 years left on it for 83 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand their roster next year. They don't have very much shooting. Having to include Danny Green in this and not Pau Gasol's contract was noteworthy to me. Am I too low on this, or how are you reading the situation?
I always suspected that this was a possibility. To me, it reads like somebody who's going to be retiring in a couple of years and isn't particularly interested in trying to do the whole rebuild. Like, most of the time when you see guys get moved, it's for picks and young players. And that's not to say I think DeRozan's a little bit underrated by the NBA Twitter sphere and all of that. Like, he's a perfectly fine player. The problem is his contract, and that's why you see guys getting moved for picks and things like that. It's like, it's having cost controlled, you know, cheap assets that you hope one of them turns out well, you know, like Kuzma or Josh Hart. It's not just a matter of like how good that player is. It's how good are they versus what their contract is. That didn't happen in this instance, in my opinion, because Popovich is not going to be around after a couple of years. So there's no value to him at the very least. Now, what role he plays versus RC Buford in going forward, but that's what this trade seemed like to me. And for a team that is less resistant to, you know, mid-range jumpers and kind of the playing an old school way, and they do it fairly effectively, despite, I mean, they're not totally old school, but they have some of that in their game. It makes sense. And from, if they want to stay competitive, DeRozan was probably the best player they could get for this year and next year. Now, long-term, you want your Brandon Ingrams, Markelle Fultz, guys like that, but that's not what they wanted. And we always assumed that, that's what they would, but I think that's where they were going with. Long-term, though, I think they're just delaying the inevitable of what's going to be a really long rebuild.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting here, is that, yes, it's cool that you can want to compete, but that roster, it's DeJounte Murray, the kid that they drafted this year, who was also a guard, right? And you also have DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. You don't have Danny Green, who's shooting and defense they're going to miss. You have LaMarcus Aldridge, and you have Pau Gasol. Like, that's not, in my opinion, that's not a playoff team, a guaranteed playoff team in the West. Now, maybe Pop works his magic, and maybe they vastly outperform my prognostication, and I've been proved wrong a zillion times before. It's become like I've made a career out of it. But as of right now, it's cool to say that that as an organization we want to compete, and that we want to send Pop out with a competing team and put off, as you put it, the inevitable. But if they don't make the playoffs, then it's a complete disaster, right? Unmitigated.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope that DeRozan comes around. I think DeRozan's probably more hurt with how Toronto treated him having any bad feelings towards San Antonio, right? It's a class organization. I play a little bit devil's advocate with your point, though, is they won 47 games last year. Mm-hmm. And just strictly from a last year's team to this year's team, they basically just traded Danny Green for DeMar DeRozan because Kawhi didn't play. He played, nine games? Mm-hmm. And so they added a pretty good player, an all-star caliber player, at least in the Eastern Conference, to a team that won 47 games last year and traded out Danny Green, who's a solid player. But
Tony Parker wasn't very good last year.
Right. And, you know, they drafted Lonnie Walker. DeJounte Murray's a little bit older. I think, you know, you can make an argument that they are a mid-40s. It looks to me there's a big pack in the Western Conference once again that's gotten even better. It happened last year between, like, the third seed and the 10th seed even, mm-hmm. where – you're only going to be separated by a few games. So people ask me, you know, what seed are the Lakers going to be? That might be determined by one day.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
the events of like one day, you know, and to me, San Antonio's in that group, and they very well could miss the playoffs, but they could also be a three seed, and that might just be the difference of two or three games.
Yeah, I guess I'll end on this, and we'll take a quick second when we'll come back and we'll talk. We'll keep talking about it, but I'm a huge proponent of aim for the moon, you land on a star kind of thing. And right now this feels like the Spurs are aiming for the middle, which opens up the possibility that they land in San Antonio. You know, we're going to take a quick second. We're going to come back and talk about what this means for the Lakers, who I think are still sitting pretty pretty. So the Lakers were never going to be able to match this kind of offer if this is what the Spurs were looking for, right? They couldn't have even matched Philly's offer of like Covington and Saric and tried to have guys who make an impact right now that way either. So as soon as it became clear that San Antonio was focused more on guys who can help win games now and keep them in this conversation for the playoffs, I think that pretty much signified that the Lakers' chances of landing Kawhi Leonard were pretty much non-existent, right?
Yeah, I think there were probably several different factors going on. I'm sure that all things being equal, Popovich would have rather not dealt with the Lakers in the first place. Yep. And then, if they wanted that type of deal, the Lakers were not the team to give it to them. So to me, this is, and it's funny, we were saying this about Paul George last year, so maybe this is foolish and not learning from quote unquote mistakes. But to me, outside of acquiring Kawhi for a really, really cheap trade package, this is probably the next best scenario. Yep. From what I know about Kawhi, I don't think that he's going to be as
enamored.
Or like easily influenced as Paul George was, right? Like one of the things that really struck me about how Kawhi handled this is Kawhi drew a line in the sand and he was done. Like once he was done with San Antonio, there were no like reports of, oh, well, you know, maybe they can work things out. Everything that came from Kawhi's camp was like, I'm done. Like, trade me to LA, whether it's the Clippers or Lakers, this is what I want. And he never budged off of that. And so to me, that's not a personality like Paul George, who is a known people pleaser in Indiana, and being around a very forceful personality like Russell Westbrook. There's none of that in Toronto. And then an LA kid, now nothing against the city of Toronto. I've heard it's an awesome city. I've never been there, but I've never heard someone who has been there say a bad thing about it. But a kid like that freezing his ass off in Toronto in January, I don't know, man. I think that's a pretty good scenario for the Lakers.
Didn't they have to build a tunnel to keep people out of the cold? Like to walk certain places and keep them out of the cold?
I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong on that. That's going to be the title of my book. But here's the thing that I think the point about not being easily convinced and backing that up with the way that this all played out with Kawhi is really interesting too. And I thought two reports kind of caught my eye over the course of this. One, that he is still telling teams, or he was still right up into to the point of the trade telling teams, if you aren't LA, don't bother, right? I'm not going to sign with you. That was one of the reports that came out. And then just today, I just finished writing about this before we started recording, this report that he's now looking at other markets, other stars, and he's already reached out to stars to say, all right, where can we team up? How can I best? You don't do that really normally if you're committed to the situation that you got traded to, right? It wasn't a report of how can I get other guys here. It was, where can I meet y'all, right? And that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that, I don't know, man, the stars feel aligned, you know, and I, maybe I'm just being optimistic about it, but it just seems like a different situation. And the Lakers are in a different situation now as being that place to meet up at, because we really needed the first guy to say yes. Yep. And the first guy just so happened to be the best guy in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a different thing where LeBron says yes and then you hope for a guy to come than Paul George, who's very, very good player. Him saying yes and then hoping, because Paul George isn't going to be the best player on a championship team, right? LeBron already has, obviously. And so, like, yeah, all of that, like, it all seems to line up for, yeah, him not being terribly committed to being to that place and the Lakers being the place where he wants to meet up on, you know?
It's like the Shams thing. It just makes too much sense. Like the option is sitting right there. It just makes too much sense. We're going to take, this was a shorter segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether we think the Lakers played this right. I am of the opinion that I think so. I wrote a column about it for Silver Screen Today. I'm going to let Pete do the talking on this one because you guys probably know how I feel. We'll do that here in a second. All right, so based on how we know that the Spurs were reluctant to send Kawhi to the Lakers. Like, we know this, right? The trade demand that they wanted from the Lakers was asinine. It was not something the Lakers it would not have been in the best interest for the Lakers to fulfill that demand and land Kawhi that way. But based on how everything played out, would you change anything about the way the Lakers handled this organizationally?
No, not at all. You know, when Kawhi first became available, I was of the mind that you do what it takes to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard and you don't screw around with that. After securing LeBron officially, I feel, and if the Lakers knew that, then they handled it, they slow played it correctly all along. Mm-hmm. Because now, so I think we underplay the Clippers angle. I do think that they are a legitimate contender to sign Kawhi if Kawhi wants his own team, which he wouldn't have with the Lakers, and wants to be in LA. Wait,
can I step in on that though?
Please.
I don't think. All right. Yes, LeBron is LeBron, right? But you can't. I see the point that people are making that like the Lakers are wasting whatever few prime years that they have with LeBron by not acquiring Kawhi in this kind of situation. You can't make that point and then also just say that Kawhi will never be the guy on a LeBron team, because you're now saying that LeBron's prime is going to end, go into perpetuity, right? So like those two points don't coincide. And yes, I think if Kawhi was to come over next season, he would not be the guy right away. But it could vary. That could change really quickly. And he's already a top five-ish guy, right? So it's not like he has a long ways to go. So this I get the point that's being made, and I agree with it in the immediate future. But in the not-so-distant future, I think it would be Kawhi's team.
True, that's a narrative thing, right? Like, what does that even mean in the NBA? Like, for it to be your team where you get the last shot, you know? And it will be seen as LeBron's team, even when Kawhi passes him as a player, when LeBron gets a little bit older, right? Let's say that happens. It will still be perceived in that way. So if that sort of thing matters to Kawhi, and we don't know that, then maybe the Clippers are a more attractive option. All of that being said, let's be real here. We're trying to beat the Warriors. Yes. It might not be a this year type of thing, but the route to doing that, like the whole, like they should have given up the farm to do that. So what? We trade Ingram and Kuzma and Hart and three picks and all the ridiculous crap that people were saying that they'd have to offer in order to get Kawhi, which, by the way, he got traded for nothing close to that. And he was never going to be traded for anything close to that.
It's funny to me. Like people are saying, well, you know, Boston's right to hold on to Jaylen Brown. Philly is right to hold on to Markelle Fultz and his broken ass jumper. But somehow the Lakers are the ones who should just sweep in and give just everything
trade everybody, right?
What? What are you talking about?
Everyone sucks. They won 35 games through the power of Brooke Lopez, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So yes. So when it comes to – I lost my train of thought. It got me all fired up with that. So if you're trying to beat the Warriors, the way to do that is to get Kawhi and have the kids.
Yes.
And so say they make that trade and they trade all of the guys. And so, okay, you got Kawhi, LeBron. Who's the team right now? It's Kawhi, LeBron, Rondo,
JaVale
McGee.
Lance and
Lonzo, right? Lonzo was the guy who was not involved in that. That's a good team, but you're getting waxed by it. Like those two. And that's not, before you even get into Kawhi's health and questions about that. That team has two of the best players in the world and really nothing else. Well, the Warriors have two of the best players in the world and two more All-Stars and a couple of OGs.
Young guys who are coming up, yeah.
Right, a couple OGs in like Iguodala and Livingston, guys like Looney and Jordan Bell, right? You need to you can't skip parts like D through T and to try and get to point Z earlier, because you won't get all the way there. If the Lakers are in business next summer, where if they sign another max guy, whether it's Kawhi or Jimmy Butler, Clay, there are a few guys on the market, and then they have a few options of what they can do. This year is kind of a tryout year to see who fits next to LeBron, who can really thrive next to him. If there are a couple of guys that are still well-regarded prospects, but it didn't click quite the same way, those guys are probably getting moved for a third guy. And they might not be a third superstar, but it might be a third star, your Chris Bosh, your Kevin Love level guy. Or let's say everything works out well. The Lakers are a 52 win team this year, and then you've got that space and you just keep everybody and you just add that guy the way that they added LeBron this year. That's the way to beat the Warriors. It's not going, oh my God, we are wasting a year. Like, did you watch LeBron in the friggin' playoffs last year? What is his face going to melt off? Like it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like he's not, don't stop comparing him to like regular players. He's not a regular guy.
Yeah. He sleeps in a hyperbaric chamber. Nobody does that.
Yeah, that's like super villain.
I want to get back to the point that you're making about the way that you beat the Warriors, and it's why I harp so heavily on process. This is where process really matters, and I think the way that the Lakers went about this process, I'm going to give credit to the Lakers front office for doing this the right way. And look, we're sitting here right now. I'm a Dodgers fan. You're a Yankees fan, right? The Dodgers, when Friedman and the rest of that front office was put into place, they were maddening, right? You think to yourself, they have all this money. They have this crazy TV deal. Why not just continue to completely overspend and carve out the farm system to be able to then more hastily win a World Series? And there was something like there was an emotional attachment to winning it while Vin Scully was still with the organization. So like I kind of get that, and to a certain extent, you know, there's something there. But the Dodgers, Magic watched this firsthand, that they focused heavily on development from the ground up. And they acquired as many assets as they possibly can, and their cupboard was insanely full to the point where last year they were able to shell out a couple prospects and go get Yu Darvish. Now that didn't turn out well, but the process was solid. And now this year, just like a half hour ago, the Manny Machado deal becomes official, and they are able to shell out, I think it was either four or five prospects. I think it's a 5-for-1 deal, but they're able to do that. They're able to send out 5 solid prospects and still have a ton still left in storage, right? And you kind of look at Boston, and it's like every single year you find out about some new lottery team's pick that they're going to be able to continue to build their team with, right? And Magic has mentioned Boston and the way that they've developed too, and so. You know, you watch all this come together, and it's what you're talking about. Steps A, B, C, D, and whatever were develop Lonzo. We'll draft Lonzo, develop Lonzo, draft Kuzma, make the trade to be able to draft Josh Hart as well and develop those guys. And if they become legitimate players that can produce on a playoff team, great. If you need to turn those guys into more consolidated help for the superstars that want to come, then cool, you can do that too. But the most important key here is to remain flexible. And that's what the Lakers prioritized from the get-go with this Kawhi thing. And I thought they played that absolutely perfectly.
Yeah, and they've been doing that for a long time, right? Like that was one of the things that when Pelinka and Magic took over, Pelinka said this a lot, was establishing and maintaining cap flexibility. Mm-hmm. Now, if you guys had to go along the way for that to happen, Julius, yep. D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, all of that, right? But what has been created within that has been you've got the best player in the NBA, a bunch of young guys, and cap flexibility. This is a really healthy situation, and this was not the time for them to shoot their shot.
Yeah, especially because they didn't have to. They didn't have to. They had the conversation. Magic had that conversation with LeBron, and they came to the same understanding of we don't have to do this right now.
There's a movie called Colors from the 80s. It's from like 1987 or so. It's about gangs and whatnot. There's a story in it. This is a homework assignment for the listeners where he talks about cows. There's a story where the two cops are sitting in the car talking to each other, and they're talking about cows. Look up the cow story from the movie Colors, and then reply, leave a comment or something mm-hmm. like that. Try and apply that to the Lakers, and you'll know exactly what I mean. That's yep. what they need to do.
I'm gonna let everybody just go out and do their homework right now. This is a semi-shorter show because it's a single subject kind of thing. This next season is going to be really interesting from the standpoint of watching LeBron James on the Lakers figure things out with the young Lakers and see how they chart their path forward that way. Now you add to that another like superstar watch. Last year it was Paul George watch. This year it's Kawhi Leonard watch. Oh, one last, I forgot I was going to make this point. I don't think you can extend the comparison from Paul George to Kawhi. As you said earlier, they're two completely different cats, right? They're completely different people. But also, like, the Lakers, the market next year is better. The Lakers are in a much better spot now than they were when they were hoping to acquire Paul George coming into those potential negotiations. Like, it's not even close to apples to oranges. And yes, it stings that Paul George stayed in OKC without even taking a meeting with the Lakers. But you also don't have like an Aaron Mintz kind of situation with him and Rob Pelinka. Like these two situations are way too different to extend that analysis.
I guess the only thing I would add is that we also shouldn't be deaf to the outside noise. I think that's what we could learn as Laker fans from the Paul George situation, is it'll be different things. But so, for example, I think it'd be foolish to be like, the Clippers, who's going to sign with the Clippers ahead of the Lakers? Mm-hmm. When in reality, we were saying the same thing about Paul George. Who's going to stay in OKC rather than go to the Lakers?
I laughed at the very premise of Andre Robertson keeping him in OKC.
Me too. Right. Yeah. And so I think the lesson is like, listen to what is important to these guys, because these guys only get to make this decision once, maybe twice in their mm-hmm. careers at this type of level. And they're trying to get what they want. It's the only time they get to choose where they want to play while they're at the height of their powers. So just I think we should just not be deaf to anything that talks Kawhi out of coming to the Lakers. Just being like, oh, no, that's true. But Kawhi's a different guy. You know what I mean? Like try mm-hmm. and argue the case every single time. Just be more willing to listen, and I think we'll get a better feel for what the situation is.
Yep, absolutely. Completely agree. This was fun, though. Make sure you guys all go and do your homework. The cow story from Colors. I guess I have to go and do homework. Harrison never made me do homework, man. I don't know about this situation.
Well, yeah, I'm Coach Dad, right? Maybe not your dad, but, you know. I have to give, you know, these little allegories and things like that to the cow story from Colors. That's what the Lakers should do.
All right. That's what I'm going to go read up on that and make sure you guys are sending that, or I'll cheat off your guys' homework. That I got through college doing that same kind of thing. So have a great rest of your day. I have a fun guest lined up for tomorrow. You guys will really enjoy that. That'll send you off into the weekend as well. Pete, thanks for hopping on short notice with very little to talk about. This was fun.
Good stuff, man. Thank you.